We're going back to Rav Elchanan Wasserman. Page Memchet, the topic again is HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chishev Taketz. We say in the Haggadah that Hashem calculated how much time we would be in Mitzrayim, in Egypt. It would seem that this idea of Hashem calculating is based on what it says at the end of the second chapter of Eirachin. That's the Gemara we just saw. Adechan Tachlit Yisurin. How far does Hashem go in Shamayim to the essence of making a person pay his bills through little things? That even a small thing helps a person pay his bills. That in Shamayim they say, no, I made him put up with that. So that counts towards what he owes, so to speak. The Gemara says, even if you took out two coins instead of three, so the fact that you have to work again and take out your three coins is something that in heaven they say, you see, he paid his bill a little bit. Or you put the left glove on the right hand, etc. That too is called, you've had to suffer something in the world. But there are afflictions that are more bitter than death. Kmo shekatuv, as the Talmud tells us in Ksubos, if they would have tortured Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, they would have caved in. The Gemara says Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were capable of giving up their lives, but they were not capable of standing up to torture. So when we look at the Jewish people, Hashem had decreed they would be afflicted for 400 years. And if Hashem decreed they'd be afflicted 400 years, then Hashem's word is going to be fulfilled. They did have to undergo something for 400 years. Some traveling, exile. But you know what? Exile can play itself out differently. Traveling can play itself out differently. We find that a Levite will sometimes go from community to community teaching Torah. It's not the end of the world for him. He's going from community to community. The Talmud says in Tractate Makos, when a person kills someone by mistake, they have to go to Galut. They have to go to exile. Where do they go? To Arei Miklat. They go to the six cities of refuge. Or else there are 48 Levite cities that they can also go to. They could go to Arei Alvigim, the Levite cities. And they are also considered cities of refuge. So the Talmud asks, and if a Levi kills by mistake, then what does he do? How does he go into exile? So the Talmud says, he goes to another neighborhood. He stays in the same city. He just switches from this neighborhood to that neighborhood. So Rav Chan Wasserman says, you see, if someone else killed someone by mistake, they have to go to a totally different city. They have to go to one of the cities of refuge. When the Levite kills someone by mistake, it's enough that he switches communities. He moves a few blocks over to the next neighborhood. And that's okay. That's considered that he went to exile. So you see the idea of galut, even where the Torah says that a person has a forced galut, he has a forced exile. Well, some people fulfill it by moving a few houses down.
How is that legitimate?
What do you mean?
Not an exile. You can go home whenever he wants.
No, he moves. He moves to another neighborhood.
You can visit.
Right. It's an easier exile. That's exactly the point. Then you have someone who goes to exile from one end of the land to the other. And when we speak about a person suffering in exile, well, there are different gradations, there are different levels. The Jews went down to Egypt. Initially, they didn't suffer at all. They weren't forced to work when they came down in Yaakov Avinu's time, Yosef's time. They weren't working. And afterwards, the Egyptians started talking to them gently and sweetly. And only then did it evolve. And then it grew more and more. Ad, till it reached the point of they made their lives tremendously bitter. So from when do I start counting the 400 years? They were in exile a long time. That depends on how much suffering they were supposed to get. Hashem could have counted from when they started going down. So then it would have been 210. Or from when they started talking them sweetly to make them work. So then the work would have been about 90 or 100 years. Or from when things really got tough, so then it would have been about 83 years, right? Because Miriam was called Miriam. Why? It says in Seder Olam Rabba, because things got bitter then. Miriam comes from the word mar. So it says they called her Miriam because the year she was born, things got really bad for the Jews. Don't tell your sisters who are called Miriam that. But Miriam is really because it got bitter.
She brought the rain also.
She?
Miriam brought the rain from the desert.
The ring?
The rain.
You're talking about the Be'er, the well.
Yeah, it's like she was the
Source of the well, yeah.
It was bitter when she was born, but later on it was better.
Yefe, yefe. V'gam ma shekatuv ki ger yezaracha. Hashem says, your descendants, your seeds will be sojourners. Kama ye mispar hazera? How many children does Avram need to have to fulfill the decree, your seed will be strangers in the land? How many seeds does he have to have? One child? 50 children? 600,000 children? Im shishim ribo shivim nefesh. Hashem could have calculated the exile from when we went down to Egypt as a family of 70, or from when we procreated and became a people of 600,000. So Hashem could calculate it differently. Hashem made a decree, but within that decree there are variables which Hashem decides how Hashem is going to define the decree. Hashem said, your seed will be in exile. What's called your seed? What's called exile? Exile could be like we saw from the Levite, when you're not in the place that you'd like to call home. Well, Abraham was an exile. He didn't have a place he could call home. You see, he kept traveling. What's called seed? One child? 70 children? 600,000 descendants. So that's what we're saying in the Haggadah, that Hashem calculated the time. Hashem gave us the easiest count. Hashem said, I'm going to count it from the minute Yitzchak's born. Even a child suffers when you're traveling. If you could stay at home, when the child goes to sleep, he has his bed. When the child wakes up, they know where the food is, they know how to deal. Even a child, when he's one day old, suffers to some degree because everyone's traveling. It's not the same for the child. That's one of the things we often wonder. When a kid is 5 years old, 7 years old, so you know if the kid has fever, you let him rest at home, you don't want to wear him down. What about when the child is 2 weeks old or 2 months old? And the child is in the carriage anyways. Does the child notice the difference if they're on a bus, or they're in a carriage, or they're in the mother's arm as the mother's on a bus, or on a train, or going around shopping?
Yeah.
Well, the answer is yeah. That doesn't mean it's terrible for the child, but to some degree the child notices. So, de'efshar she'yachsa lo ma'at mishe'irut ha'ra'uy lo. It could be the child will get less attention because everyone's traveling. When he's crying, they won't be able to hold him as much. If they're at home calmly, he gets a different attention, he gets different food, he gets different care. And that's what Hashem says. I will consider it from the time Yitzchak was born, the 400 years. And that's like the Gemara asks. When we want to calculate what's considered Hashem's giving afflictions to the person, so the Gemara gives us a leniency. The Gemara comes and says, you should know even the smallest thing can count, and Hashem will say, okay, the guy suffered already. Like everything in Chazal, we can take it in multiple ways. You have a guy that he puts on his sweater inside out, and he says, you see, the Gemara says Hashem did that to me. Boy, do I have to suffer in this world. Unbelievable. That's the famous story they tell about the guy who, his wife took care of the kids, right? She brought them up. She fed them. She financed the home. She was doing everything, and all the years he was sitting in the attic, and he was learning and learning and learning, and he never stopped. And after 2 decades of learning, one day his wife comes up, and she says, Chaim, we gotta go. So he says, where we gotta go? So he says, she says, our son Muttal is getting married today. So he says, today? She says, yeah, I waited to the last minute. I didn't disturb you. We set up the shidduch, we set up the hall, we set up the food. Everything is ready. We just have to go to the hall. And she brings him the jacket to put on. And he gets up from his chair, and as he's putting his hand into the jacket, he says, oh, it's so hard to bring up kids these days. Tzar gidul banim. So there are people who take this Gemara the wrong way. They over the smallest thing, they say, unbelievable how hard life is, right? The smallest inconvenience. But the Gemara was telling us the positive. The Gemara was saying that Hashem takes off of our account for the smallest inconvenience. Hashem says, I've given him hardship. That can go off his account as well.